It's time for us to move into our public comment session. I would remind you that the procedures of the board are to allow public comment during each meeting, and notification is required 3 days in advance of the board meeting for a speaker to come forward. Each speaker is allotted 5 minutes to address the board. Dee Dee will be our official timer and will indicate when the time has expired. Before the speaker begins, I'd mention that the tradition has been to listen carefully to the speaker, what they have to say, and whatever questions you may have if necessary. I'm sure the speaker would be happy to avail themselves outside of the board meeting for question and answers after the session if appropriate. And we appreciate the fact that we have guests here today and look forward to hearing from them. The first speaker is Patrick Thompson. Patrick, if you're here, please come to the podium. Welcome, Patrick.
Hi, my name is Patrick Thompson, and I'm president of VIA Inc., and we are a construction contractor located in Champaign, Illinois. And I'm here today to talk about the MAFI program that the university has. And I want to give you kind of a little bit of historical background about my involvement. Within the last 5 years, I've spoken with Michael Bass. I've spoken with several administrations over at the FNS facility about minority contracting, specifically my company. We are certified as an MBE firm, and we are local. The University of Illinois is a big employer around Champaign-Urbana as far as employment for the citizens, as far as contractors in that area being able to do construction work. They provide a lot of opportunity and resources for the community. Well, and so I'm here today to talk about the lack of minority contractors on university projects. My company is pre-qualified with IDOT and CDB to bid as a prime contractor. With the University of Illinois, there's a barrier that prevents us from even being pre-qualified with the university to bid on projects. There's no set aside. There's no target market. None of those things are avenues, or some of those things are avenues that would help increase minority contractors. I printed off the report, the MAFI report that you guys get. And I believe it's saying 59% of the expenditures are female, and only 11% is African American. This was as of September the 30th. So, in saying now, I've been having these conversations for a long time, and I know Mike Bass. You know, I've talked to him. I believe that he's interested in some of these things changing, but it's been 5 years. And 5 years in construction, that's a long time. And as a minority contractor, a local contractor, I'm tasked with trying to create diversity. Getting young African Americans in the unions, on construction projects, and without that opportunity to have small set-asides and target markets and those things, then, you're not going to really see us grow. I know the governor just recently released the executive order to target, to look at minority contracting and set out some things, you know, a small set aside, target market. You know, so those are just some of the things that I think that can help get contractors, especially minority contractors, to grow. There was a disparity study that was just released, and out of Cook County had 57% of state dollars. Champaign County was next with 28% of state dollars. You know, and that's a lot, you know, for Champaign County. And as a minority, I'm, you know, we see this on a day-to-day basis, and it bothers. It's troubling. You know, people in the community, you know, are aware of it. You know, as a contractor, you know, I see it every day. You know, and so I'm here today to, you know, ask this board and the university to take a look at this. You know, implement some policies. You know, make some changes so that, you know, I as a contractor can do my part as a construction owner, but also I know I'm tasked with trying to create some diversity. So I have another burden trying to get, you know, young African Americans on projects. And I do on jobs request, you know, minorities, females. You know,
thank you,
on the job. So
we're out of time, Patrick.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate your point. Well, well heard.
Yes.
Thank you very much. All right, the next speaker is Kathleen Lungus. Kathleen, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Kathleen. I am a junior at UIC. I'm studying psychology. I'm also a member of the Honors College and the student government. And I wanted to talk to you today a little bit about the importance of offering ASL as a foreign language. So according to the National Institute of Health, 2 to 3 out of every 1,000 babies are born with detectable hearing loss. At the same time, 1 in 65 children is diagnosed with autism. In both of these cases, as well as in light deafened individuals such as myself, ASL is an essential part of communication, education, healthcare, and overall quality of life. This makes the knowledge of ASL not only important to deaf and hard of hearing individuals, but to the opportunities and quality of education offered at our campus. As the patient of UIC's audiology department, I can personally attest to the exceptional quality of the doctors and the offering of deaf services. It is one of the largest cochlear implant treatment centers in Chicago and the only auditory brain stem implant program. With UIC also being a major teaching hospital and the audiology department being so esteemed, students interested in that department will have contact with and eventually work with an extremely large amount of deaf and hard of hearing individuals. Between this and the fact that employment growth for audiologists is projected at 29% increase over the next 10 years, much faster than the normal growth rate, there are solid justifications for enriching the pedagogy of med students. Furthermore, UIC is an award-winning college for education. It is important to consider the vast amount of schools that offer special education programs to deaf students. For example, Chicago's Alexander Graham Bell Elementary has 3 education programs, one of which is solely dedicated to deaf students. There is the A.G. Bell Montessori School that is committed to the inclusion and education of deaf children. And the Northwest Sellers alone has 42 public schools that promise full inclusion to deaf students in the special education program. Our state is also home to the Illinois School for the Deaf, which has education and residency for K-12 students and transition programs for young adults. These represent just a tiny portion of the many schools in Illinois that offer these programs and resources. In conclusion, offering ASL as a foreign language or even a minor would put these students at a significant advantage when competing in the workforce. These advantages would subsequently place graduates in positions of greater esteem and attract more students. In fact, prestigious universities have begun to take notice. In 2012, after unanimous approval by the Linguistics Department, University of Pennsylvania became the first Ivy League to offer a minor in ASL Deaf Studies. Also, our sister campus in Champaign offers a substantial amount of ASL and Deaf Culture courses, and I feel that our campus is overlooking a rapidly growing demand for individuals with this skill. So I ask you to take note of some of the benefits I addressed today, if and when you do consider adding this popular and in-demand foreign language program to the curriculum. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Kathleen. And Patrick, also thank you for being here and making comments today.